Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. This is Therese. Merry Christmas, and I'm glad to have you here today. I know we're last minute, but for those of you who were able to make the call, we're thrilled that you were here, and know that it'll have great value for you. I am going to be introducing some new principles today that complement radical leadership. And just so you know, this call is going to be created. We're going to do this on a regular basis, 2 times a month. And this call is going to be designed to be in service of radical leadership graduates in particular. We know we want to be in service of you. We want you to continue to live in your essence and be able to know when you're an ego and when you're an essence and keep choosing, because we know that being in community and being connected is an important part of this discipline of continually choosing. So today how our call is going to go is I'm going to share principles on it's about de-stressing, but it's really about, you know, happy is who you are. You know, happy is who you are, except when there's a cloud cover. And we're in this season where joy and peace are words that are used often, and yet for most people, that seems like a fairyland. Like, that is not common to our experience. We often feel under stress and harried and hurried and overwhelmed and moving from one thing to the next. And as radical leaders, we want to be in full support of reminding you that happy is who you are, except when there's a cloud cover. And then we will also be coaching today, and Maria Loomer, one of our graduates, is going to be coached on something she picked. I don't know what that will be. And then we'll open up the call for some questions, to answer any questions you have about this whole process. So I am going to start, and there are really three principles. Well, first of all, you know, as a coach, I always have a foundation of two things that especially radical leaders are aware of, which is awareness and responsibility. That's the context always for everything, which is creating awareness and looking at your life at levels you've never looked before, and then out of that, you know, turning up the magnifying glass, and you'll see things you haven't seen and see how they're impacting your life. And then, of course, the second part to that is responsibility. But it's not like take responsibility. It's being able to respond, you know, response able. So that's some of what we're talking about today. But basically, there are three principles to creating a life of owning this life of happiness and joy and peace. And one is the first one. First, I'll go through the three of them, and then we'll go back and cover some of what the implications of that are. So one is to notice whether you are in reaction or creation with life. Always the first question to ask yourself, no matter what's happening, is, are you in reaction to life or in creation with life? The second thing to understand is reality always rules. Like, reality always rules. Whatever happening is happening. That's the way it is. And wherever you are, it's the perfect and only place you could be. You know, understanding that wherever you are is perfect and it's the only place you could be, and celebrating and embracing what is. So reality rules. Number two is reality rules, celebrating and embracing what is. And then three is engage in this moment and choose to create what you want. We are used to being in our heads and in our thoughts instead of in life. And so the third principle is about engaging in this moment and then choosing what do you want to create. So you're going back to the creation stage. So noticing, all right, let's go back to the first one and deepen that a little bit. So the first is, are you in reaction to life or in creation to life? You know, I said in my email, there's only one thing that keeps you from happiness, or only one thing you're doing that creates stress. Ever only one thing? And that's if you're being a no to life. If you're being a no, you automatically have defaulted to resistance. And what we resist persists. So that, when you're resisting life, you are creating more of the same. And if you're anything like me, as I've looked at my own life, you know, I keep saying I want to write a book called Living with the Brakes On, you know? Like, I need new brakes all the time because I'm worn out, except when I choose to be in creation instead of reaction. So what we resist persists. A good place to be looking is anytime you're complaining, you know, you're clashing with reality. Anytime you're complaining, you're clashing with reality. And, you know, as reaction shows up, and as you know, easily, it's really the default of ego, which is to be judging something and in your head about it. So, you know, the minute I have a judgment, I am living in a world of should, have to, ought to, or shoulda, woulda, coulda. So I'm living in the past, or I'm living in the future, and I'm living a fantasy life. So my fantasies are clashing with my reality. I'm making up it should be a certain way, and then it's not. And then I'm living resistant, and then the brakes are on. And then if you go to number two, which is reality always rules, celebrating what and embracing what is, you know that you wherever you are is perfect and that there are no accidents. You know, you're exactly where you're supposed to be for the learning available to you in the moment. And then also knowing that reality always rules, and, you know, celebrating and embracing what is, you know, knowing that everything happens for you, it's not happening to you. So think about what shifts in your own life and what becomes available when you know that something's happening for you, it's not happening to you. And under resistance, when we do resist reality, we actually are creating a life of struggle and suffer. You know, instead of that life of creation and possibility and joy and wonder, you can feel the energy of that. And one thing to think about is just even life. You know, I was talking to a client this morning and I said, well, what's the difference between life if you're on the show Survivor? Like, you have all these challenges, and think about this. If you're on the show Survivor, and then you have a life that's challenging, what's the difference? Well, really, it's the perspective, isn't it? On one, they're going through all this stuff, but they consider it a game. So what becomes different when you consider your life a game and a ride, like a roller coaster ride, and you get to scream all the way up and scream all the way down, you know, with your hands in the air, celebrating. And something to realize is that when we're resisting life, it's because it is because of our judgments. And those judgments often are creating drama, and when we're, when we're attached to our judgments, we do create drama, and often drama is a way for us to resist our lives. So we go to step number three, which is to engage with life in this moment. And there's number three, get out of your head and into your life. Out of your head and into your life. And choose to create what you want no matter what's happening in any moment. Because you are always at choice. You know, you're always at choice. We're always choosing what we're going to do with our time, with our energy, with our money, with what's in front of us. And that's our freedom to choose that. So number three is engage in this moment and choose to create what you want. Get out of your head and into your life. Thinking about something is not the same as doing it. So let's see those principles in action. Can we once more there notice, are you in reaction to life or in creation to life? Or reaction to life or in creation with life, celebrating what is, number two, embracing what is, reality always rules, or three, engaging in this moment and choosing to create what you want. So, Maria, you have volunteered to be here with us today to be coached. Will you press star two so we can hook you up?
Okay.
Great. So thank you for being here today. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So what can we coach you on today?
I don't even know where to start. There's so many issues that are somewhat intertwined but yet separate issues. I guess I'll start with the emotional one that seems to be riding over everything, and that is the loss of my mother. I lost her this year, and with the holidays, there has been a lot of situations that bring on stress of missing her,
mm-hmm.
and having to be or feeling like I have to be the strong one for everybody else, and not allowing myself, you know, I haven't allowed myself to really grieve, I think, and that's affected a lot of things.
Can we slow down and let's look at that. You know,
okay.
So I just want to say I'm sorry for the loss of your mother, you know, and especially as you enter the holidays, that can be a time of remembering and recalling her in amazing ways. And so one thing to do is to notice, are you in reaction or creation to having lost her?
Mostly reaction.
And so talk to me about how the reaction shows up. Like, and reaction would be resisting, you know, the resistance.
Mm-hmm. The reaction would be I might be along working my day or dealing with my children and a song will come on the radio or a smell, you know, cooking something will just bring a remembrance of her and I'll get very emotional. And depending on if I'm alone or if I'm, you know, with family, will depend on how I deal with it. Sometimes I just let the emotion be there. But it seems like if I'm around other people, I have to be strong and not let that emotion show, and I just tend to shove it back down inside and carry on with what I'm doing.
Well, that's such a beautiful place to look at both reaction and creation. So when you're alone, you tell me what you do.
If I'm alone and I'm in a moment that I can just experience the memory and the loss, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll sit there and I'll listen to the song. Maybe I'll even sing along with it and I'll just find myself just crying and just kind of a cleansing and just, okay, I remembered and I do have these feelings and I just am allowing myself to feel that. And then it just passes, and then I'm, you know, then I'm back onto the, you know, the happy memories and things that were good.
Yeah, I just got goosebumps actually because you sound like a child who gets to sit in her mother's lap, you know, when she's got an owie and have somebody just nurture and kiss her on the
mm-hmm.
forehead. In other words, you're doing that for yourself. You're moving right into both the grief of your mom and the celebration of your mom, and just being present to whatever you feel in the moment, you can hear these principles in play right there. Like, in that moment, you're creating with life and you're celebrating, embracing what is. You're not trying to resist any feelings or tears. You're not living in a should, have to, ought to place, you know, and you're engaging in this moment. And then it's like you jump down from your mom's lap and say, I'm going to go play now. You know, you go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? I mean, that sounds like what you've shared.
Yes, it is. I mean, sometimes I'll even go to Facebook, and if I'm in that moment, I'll go and look at her pictures, and I'll just let it all out.
Because yeah.
And push it back for so long. When it can do that, I allow myself to do that.
Yeah, and when you're letting it all out, how are you being? I mean, you know, how are you being when you're letting it out? Is it crying or? I mean,
there's tears. There's tears and there's smiles, kind of all mixed together. Memories, just maybe in the moment of just of who she was and how she impacted my life, the good and the bad, you know, just the reality of what our relationship was and how grateful I am that I had the time that I had with her.
Yeah, like you just you're just embracing and being there and being authentic. I hear you in conversation with her. I hear you enjoying her. I hear you having a dialogue about, you know, who she maybe wasn't at times and having that be okay, just like she's here, right? Because if she was here, it'd be like, Mom, you're a great mom, except when you know, right?
Right.
And then what becomes available when you live fully into that?
When I allow myself to be there in that moment, it's almost in honor of her and of myself, and I just feel very, very good. Even though I've been crying, when I walk away, I almost feel refreshed, and I feel good.
You said that. Well, you used the phrase before, it feels purifying. It feels cleansing. Yeah, and that's because you embraced your mother and celebrated her and included her instead of resisting the loss of her or the feelings. You embraced the feelings. You let yourself be right where you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and honored that you were in the perfect place and in the perfect moment, and that all of those feelings and being present to her and to yourself were meant to be, like it was okay, full permission.
Yeah.
Can you tell us then what happens when you have the kids there? Now, so you have a different discipline when the kids are there or people are there. And what do you do to yourself when people are there?
Well, something will happen and I'll feel those emotions and feelings well up, and I just, you know, I'll start to tear up and I just kind of push it all back down. And
Because can you tell me what belief is running then that you push it all back down, or belief?
That, you know, because sometimes we'll even mention, oh, this was grandma's or this was mom's, and here's a memory, and I feel like they don't get it, and I don't want to burden them with my emotional state of mind or whatever, so I just kind of push it down. And it doesn't feel so good when I do that, but I have found myself doing that many times. Actually, I did that so many times that when I finally let the release happen, it was just like, yeah, this is what I need to do. But, yeah, it's a protective mode, I guess, for them.
Well, it is, and yet let's turn up the awareness on that, and let's turn the awareness up on that. Can we?
Mm-hmm.
So one, you implode it instead of be present and let it out, you know, your feelings about your mother, because the kids are there. And you said you believe they don't get it. You don't want to burden them. And
it's a level of vulnerability that sometimes I don't think I'm willing to go to.
Ah, and so you consider that vulnerable. And mm-hmm. So what does that teach your children? Like, what are you teaching your children?
That it, almost that it's not okay to open up around people.
Uh-huh.
Even though we are very open about things, there's certain things that we don't go to, you know. And I don't know how or why that is or it was created, but that's what's there.
So you're teaching them don't go to where? We don't go to where? We'll fill in the blank.
I don't want to put my troubles on somebody else. I don't know a word for that, but I don't want to burden them with my problems.
Yeah.
That's kind of
what
I guess I'm teaching
them. Well, so you have, yeah, so you have these belief systems. So you're also sending them the message that if they feel, you know, good, bad, sad, happy, celebrating, because that's what you said you did when you
mm-hmm.
got in touch with your feelings. You know, so you're sending them the message that it's not okay to experience life. And would you say that's so?
I hadn't really thought about it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can say whatever you want, but kids will watch your behavior and then mirror that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so then when they get owies or they feel sad or scared, what are they going to do?
Clam up.
Yeah. And then, by the way, what happens when you clam up? So, in other words, when you're not able to just be present and cry and laugh and celebrate your mom, how do you start acting? You know, how do you start behaving when you can't get in touch with those feelings?
Withdrawn, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Less of my social self.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get with the kids? Like they start screaming or asking for stuff, pulling on your skirt, you're cooking dinner, you haven't felt your feelings.
Oh, my patience level is definitely not the same.
Yeah. Well, if
yeah.
you're like me, what I actually do, I mean, when I implode feelings, I actually put a cover of anger over it because I haven't given myself permission to feel the sadness, so I cover with anger and
yeah,
impatience.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I get up and say, oh, I'm going to do that. It's just like the way of it.
Inner feeling of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you, you know, if and by the way, when you're telling them there's no position, you know, when you're trying to protect them, you're sending yourself a message. And what's the message you're sending yourself?
That my feelings aren't important enough to be heard.
Well, you said that with a question mark.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the right words. My I devalue myself.
And say more about that. Like, how does that show up? How does it manifest when you do that, devalue yourself?
Well, I'm trying to put myself there so I can.
Well, you know, if I may just contribute, you know, if we look at three principles, you know, one, you're either in reaction to life or you're in creation to it.
Right.
Two, reality always rules. It is what is. So the best way to deal with reality is to embrace it and celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is to engage in this moment and choose to create what you want.
Right.
And one of the ways we go you know, we default, what we default to oftentimes is judgment. So what are the judgments, name them, that you have going when you're devaluing yourself?
That I'm not worthy of having my feelings heard. I put myself in a victim role, I think. And a hero too at the same time, not, you know, having to protect everybody, and but my feelings don't matter, and
yeah, like your feelings don't matter, they come first,
right?
You know, you're also holding them small, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what would happen if you were to teach your children how to join you in grieving and celebrating your grandmother? I mean, your mother, their grandmother.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
Well, why? I mean, why do you say that?
Because as we're talking through all this, and I think about the times when I allow myself, when I'm by myself, to celebrate her life in the way that I do, if I
uh-huh.
can share that with them, you know, maybe they're feeling some of the same things, and that just hasn't been communicated. And it would,
yeah,
would want them to experience that same release and gratefulness for her that I do at those times.
Yeah, and what are you teaching your children about how you're relating to your mother, either in her life or in her death?
What do you mean?
Well, in other words, you're teaching them how to be relate to her in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're teaching them how they're going to relate to you, aren't you, with the model?
True. Mm-hmm.
So when I look over, you're teaching them how to celebrate her, love her, feel sad about the loss, but then know that she's missed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That their feelings are okay. There's so many beautiful things that you're opening up for them.
Right.
And then you're also teaching them, I believe, how to relate to you then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, celebrating mom, laughing, crying. Sometimes I love her, sometimes I don't, you know. I mean, just the full gamut of emotions and relating to you, you know, fully present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I lost you somewhere there. Where'd you go? You went to your head and started thinking about.
I did. I went to my head, started thinking. I guess it was a realization of, wow, I have been teaching my kids that without even realizing it.
Yeah, and like, oh, you're so perfect. How perfect is that, right?
Right. Uh-oh.
Well, on one level, yay, but that also you're now seeing it.
Yeah.
And you can go back and engage with them and yourself,
mm-hmm.
right, instead of resisting.
Right.
And choose what you want to create. So what do you want to create, both around the loss of your mother, the holidays without her, and your relationship with your kids?
I would like to create the closeness that I've built with my mother over the past 10 years as adults.
Mm-hmm.
Three of my children are grown.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to create that same closeness, that openness, that and make that something that's allowed to be felt, that is not closed off.
Uh-huh. Like to feel your feelings, to not shut down, not close down.
Right. And my, you know, let them know, I don't think I'm perfect. Maybe that's how I come across, and they don't, you know, to open up those doors of communication and feeling
Well, here's a question I have. Do you suspect your kids know you're not perfect?
Oh, they do know I'm not perfect.
Yeah. So it's sort of like, you know, parents manage that image and kids know anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I don't, and there's a judgment in there about perfection. See, that judgment is one of those things that will send us under, where we start to resist because we're not embracing reality. In other words, you know, starting to judge ourselves mean we have to go under. See, we have to go under and in hiding the minute that judgment comes out, and we're demanding that we be perfect, which is an illusion anyway, because there is no such thing as perfection. I mean, unless you know somebody that you could tell me about, because I'd like to meet them.
No clue.
Yeah, no clue. We want our kids to be perfect, our parents to be perfect, our spouses to be perfect. It's like, well, good. When you find that person, you know, we're putting them on the front page of MSN and 60 Minutes. You know, they're an anomaly, the first ever. And you know what I hear? I so giggle and I'm so happy for you, because what I hear is really that you get to celebrate your mother and her life.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to celebrate fully how much she meant to you.
Yeah.
Of course you miss her. You know, of course you miss her. And of course you have memories that are beautiful that you can include in these holidays. And if I may, I'd love to give you full permission that when it comes to your, you know, your holiday dinner, that you, you know, lift a glass to her, that you celebrate her, that you bring her in her memory into that room and recall and share, you know, cool stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even just go around the table and honor, like, oh, one thing I miss about grandmother and one thing I so loved about her or one thing I learned from her. So she's fully there, you know, in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what, knowing you, your mother lives you in you anyhow, because you are one of the most amazing, open, I mean, even look at this phone call. Here you are contributing to others' lives by being willing to share yours with them. And talking about being vulnerable, oh my gosh. And you're creating a whole permission and possibility for all those listening, because they'll see themselves in your story. So who you are is happy, except when you have that cloud cover.
Right.
Where you're resisting and judging yourself and, you know, not being in creation with life, but in reaction to it. Breaks on. So what are you walking away from our time, you know, having discovered, and what will you do differently?
Well, I'm walking away with the realization that my own individual experience with my mother and about her life and our relationship needs to be shared and needs to be opened up and communicated with those around me who are hurting people.
Well, can I ask you to replace that word?
Mm-hmm.
Like with needs to be, instead I want.
I want to share that with my family.
Yeah.
My sisters.
Like, you don't have to, but you could. So what are two things you will do?
The next time I'm feeling those feelings, I'm just going to be open and share it. Maybe even walk up to my kids and say, you know what, I miss Grandma, I need a hug.
Yeah, or let's miss Grandma together, or recall her. Yeah. You know, let's have a remember grandma moment.
Yeah. Stop fighting back the tears when they're there. Just let them be what they are.
Yeah. I love your tears. And you said so beautifully that those tears are sadness one moment and celebration and joy the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you try to implode one, you'll implode both. So, yay! Well, I'm so thankful for your mother being in the world because her love was carried on in you, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah! Thanks for showing up here today and honoring your mom by including her in our conversation.
You trees.
So would you mind if I opened up the calls and we took some questions, or is there anything else you'd like to share that would be important for people to know given what you discovered?
I'm just having a realization sitting here of how much of my suppressing my feelings for my mom has affected so many other areas of my life.
And are you in a place to share where you, what how you see that, you know, because you are so right, you know?
Well,
And it's possible that, see, as it, and then if I could also say this, like what we do in one area of our life, we're usually doing in all areas of our life. So in other words, if you're imploding how you felt about your mom and your feelings, are there other places where you are doing the same?
Sure. There are other areas, especially areas where I would normally go and get it out by talking with her. And not having that outlet, I see that I have imploded even more in other areas.
Like I know you're in, a dating relationship, right?
Correct.
And do you have a sense that's impacting your relationship, your dating relationship?
Somewhat.
Well, I don't want you to feel like you have to do anything here because you've contributed already so much, you know, and that's one place to look. What we do in one area of our life, we often do in all areas of our life. So if you don't give yourself permission to just show up and be authentic and, you know, be right where you are, you know, be right where you are, then the fallout to that is that you'll start to manage your image.
Yeah.
And the minute you start to do that, you'll be inauthentic. You know? And that doesn't mean we show up and cry everywhere, because there are places we don't want to be vulnerable. You know, there are places where it is sacred for us to share, you know. I just lost my little puppy Spirit a couple of months ago, and she was almost 16 years old. Well, there are people who don't like dogs or care about dogs. So what's going to happen if I tear up with them? You know, they're going to look and just and like be like, well, I don't get it, you know, which means I'm now sharing something sacred with somebody who's not going to appreciate or respect where I am. You know?
That's right.
To me, that's when I'm going to talk about Spirit, I want people who will be with me, and I either shape them to be with me by asking them to be present and letting me talk and celebrate her or cry about her, or I remove myself and find somebody that I can do that with. So, hey, honey, thanks for being with us today. I'm going to take you off the hot seat.
Okay.
You've been just a sweetheart.
Thank you.
So, I'd like to open up the lines and look at these three, you know, these like happy is who you are, except when there's a cloud cover. And the three ways to check that out and find your happiness are, one, you know, to first check and notice, are you in reaction to life or in creation with life? Two, knowing reality always rules. Are you celebrating what is and embracing what is? And then three, engaging in this moment and choosing to create what you want. So do we have some questions today around this? And can I answer some questions?
Yes, Therese, and I have, did you want me to open up the lines for just the radical leaders on the line?
No, I'd say open it up, open it up for just the radical leaders for today, and then we'll just take their questions and speak from there.
Okay. Well, I do have a question from one of our people that's on the webcast, and it's Beth. And Beth's father had passed away from, her husband's brother passed away from a short bout of pancreatic cancer in October.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth was just curious about how could she best support his wife and her husband in that process.
Wow. Well, thanks, Beth. I hope you're listening in. And I hope this is so perfect because your question, and even as we have had Maria with us sharing, one of the most amazing things you can do is to just, you know, honor that the person had an amazing life and be present to whatever the individual is going through. And to encourage and support them to have conversations and to be able to talk about what happened, you know, how they're feeling, do just what Maria is doing, is to give them a space to both feel the sadness and the loss, to celebrate that person. I recently just had someone share with me that it actually wasn't even a friend of theirs, but it was someone they knew whose daughter died at 25 in a car accident, and the woman shared that her friends wouldn't speak about it. It's like, oh my gosh, how can she heal if there isn't a space for being present to what is? There's number two, that's being in reaction to or in creation of. So, Beth, you're in reaction to the death of the brother-in-law, or you're in creation with them, creating a space to open up, to feel free to dialogue, not have to, but can. And you be the person that bring it up and mention something and give that space. And you know, I just think that's one of the most honoring things you can do, because otherwise there's the, you know, reality always rules. And if someone died, they died. That's what's real. And it's got a loss. It would be crazy to think that person didn't matter. So, of course, embrace and engage and celebrate the person's life. And then, you know, number three, which is, you know, to engage and choose to create what you want. So you can speak to what it was true about you for that person, or how you want to celebrate them at the holidays. You know, you be the one to include them. You know, but otherwise we're avoiding reality, and that's like an elephant being in the room and walking around and pretending nothing happened, which, I mean, that's craziness. That leads to craziness. So thanks, Beth, and good to hear from you, even if online.
And I love that recommendation, Therese, because I know sometimes, and especially prior to radical leadership, just being around somebody who had had a recent death or was going through something traumatic, I felt uncomfortable with it, so I made it awkward. And
yeah.
And in that, I didn't allow other people to have their grieving process or be able to experience that fully. And so just the not resisting what is and finding my own way of celebrating, you know, and creating that offers a new space for both her husband and, you know, and her sister-in-law. Just be with that. So thank you for that.
Thanks. Thanks, Reed. And also,
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and recently when you were at the front of the room, you lost your grandmother, you know, in one of our radical leadership retreats. And what did we do there?
It was amazing because what happened was I happened to be at the back of the room for the radical leadership, and what we did was take time in the group during the radical leadership to just honor and celebrate who she was for me and my sister Jamie, and we got to like honor that space for a moment. And that allowed me to be present back at the radical leadership retreat. So I wasn't constantly thinking, oh, I wish I could be there or be somewhere else. I got to just be and experience the emotion. Like, of course I cried and there were tears. But there was nothing wrong or bad about that. It was just an expression of emotion.
Yeah. And how long did it take for us to have you celebrate and us celebrate your grandmother with us?
I'd say I felt complete in as little as 3 minutes, and I think we took about 5 or 6.
Yeah, you felt complete.
I think it was just like it was such a short process. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't take long because I felt seen and heard in that moment.
Thank you. And Maria, I think you shared the same thing. It's like when you feel the feelings and you get present and celebrate your mother, then all of a sudden you're freed up to go do what you wanted to do instead of resisting.
That's right.
And it takes minutes.
Yeah.
But see, we think, we make up, because we're so used to avoiding death, which is crazy because it's part of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We come and we go. And it just takes minutes. But if it's imploded, it actually takes forever because now it's still there. It hasn't been dealt with. And that's, you know, that's common. So, yay, thanks. What a great topic today. And, you know, we brought in radical leadership, and I'd love to just share with those who are on the call, many of you have attended radical leadership, one and even two, and for those of you who haven't, radical leadership is about learning how to be aware and awake to what is and how to create what you want no matter what. It is about living a joy-filled and peaceful, fulfilling life, creating what you want. And we've got an upcoming Radical Leadership 1, February 7th through 9th. Is that right, Therese?
That is correct. 7th, 8th,
yeah,
and 9th.
We have a couple of spaces left for that, but we'd love anybody who's interested to please get a hold of Therese at Therese Barbie at T Barbie. Go ahead.
Thank you, Therese. It's T Sparby, STARBY, at radicalleadership.com.
And that's Sparby, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, AR. B as in boy, Y, at radicalleadership.com. So thanks.
Yes,
and
actually,
Maria,
I want to, before we go move away from that, Therese, I just want to put a little bow on that. I would love to speak to you if you have a sense that you want to come to Radical Leadership again, even if you have been through Radical Leadership before. Because I'd love to talk to you about the possibilities there and just open up in dialogue with you about that. So just shoot me a quick email, let me know, and then I'll contact you back.
Yes, and well, thanks for that, because also I'd like to share that we've had people take Radical Leadership as many as 4 times, and every time people who take it again say they had a whole different experience because, of course, they're in a different place, and they're listening now to different things and deepening their own learning and their own disciplines and practice in their lives. And so I think that's a great idea. And then we have special pricing for people who take it, who have taken it once. So we try to make that attractive for people to come and stay in community and stay in relationship and to keep deepening the learning. Because we were sort of joking as a team the other day. I was saying, you know, I had a, I know how easy it is for me to go to a place where I think I know stuff. And when I do that, I stop learning. And with radical leadership, I am always, always learning. There's not just in radical leadership, but in life. And, of course, then whatever I'm learning in life, I bring to radical leadership. So keep joining us. Keep coming back. It's always being recreated and deepened. So other questions? Any other questions?
Just so everybody knows, I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. So if you have a question, feel free to just chime in.
Hi, Therese and Therese. This is Denise in Missouri.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
We're glad you've got a couple of people joining us at our upcoming
Yes. Yes,
yay.
Yes.
And you've sent now what? There's been five of you through Radical Leadership from your company?
I think six.
Okay,
and,
wow.
Mac, I think, has joined to do coaching with you, which is wonderful.
Yay. I love
Yay.
That.
And
wow, wise man.
I just want to add a little bit to this conversation because my parents are 86 and 87, and I'm the primary caregiver.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
please.
I'm trying to celebrate, but I keep going back to something my older sister has said to me over the years, because I don't remember our grandfather. She does.
Mm-hmm.
And she still feels like that nobody really included her when he died.
Mm.
So I just wanted
to
share
that. And what do you think about
that? To Marie, because she wanted to talk about him. She wanted to celebrate and grieve, and nobody gave her a chance.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, see, kids want to be real and authentic, and they know they feel sad, and they know they want to have conversations. You're so right. And then the message is sent, we don't talk about that.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, recently, when my dog died, I was with my sister and my mother-in-law, and I hadn't seen them. I was up in Minneapolis, and I live in Lake Geneva, and I mentioned it. And they looked at me like, I can't believe you're talking about your dog. And I'm like, I've had her for 16 years. She's my baby. I'm single, you know.
Yeah.
Why can't we talk about our babies or our the people we love? That's so crazy. But, see, of course, you wouldn't carry on much of a conversation there because it's not supported because people look at you like, quit talking about that, right?
Yeah.
And that's what your sister's saying, is that nobody gave her a space to feel her grief or her joy around your grandfather. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah. You're welcome. And thank you all for what you do.
And even, you know, and you started out, Denise, by mentioning that your parents, what age they are, you know, just if I may add, before they leave, for permission to talk about all the joy and happiness you've had so far and also speak about the fact that they're leaving, you know, and what that's going to mean to your life and what do you need to know beforehand. And when my own father was when he hit 75, I looked at him and I said, you know what, Dad, let's say everything we can say to be complete in case something happens to you or something happens to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had this rich conversation where I got to tell him how much I loved him and how much he's meant to me. And, of course, he said, well, I'm concerned because you're a single woman in Chicago and out of all my kids, you know, I don't know how to care for you. And I said, you know what, Dad, you have done an amazing job. You don't need to worry about me. You know, because you taught me how to take care of myself. Well, you can guess how nice that was for the both of us.
Yes.
So is that something that you can do with your parents? You know, just
yes.
Good. I'd love to encourage and support that. I mean, and what a, as you head into the holidays, what a great time to do that.
Yeah.
You know? I said goodbye to Spirit four times a night. And she wasn't even sick. But I knew she was going on 16. And when she left in like a match going out. So, you know, it was important that I had all my goodbyes already in.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to be in full relationship with people before they leave and then after.
Yes.
So thank you, Denise.
You're welcome.
It seems like a sort of crazy topic, but it's the perfect talk about really embracing what is and also noticing if I'm in reaction to life or in creation to life, and then living full permission and creating what you want wherever you go, whenever, fully engaged. See, that's the piece, not in your head having dialogues, but having being in relationship, engaging in this moment, saying what's true for you, creating with others. I mean, that's the rich life, not being in your head thinking about life. So unless we have another quick question, we'll sign off. And thank you for all of those of you who showed up so quickly, because we were very last minute, but we wanted to jumpstart. You know, first we wanted to offer you these three principles so that you can realize who you really are, that who you are is happy, and that anytime you're not, it's a cloud cover. It's not who you are. It's resisting and not creating. It's, not letting reality be what it is and not embracing or celebrating it. And then, you know, engaging in the moment and choosing your life. So what, now what? And so thanks for those of you who showed up. And also I wish you each just a happy, happy holiday, safe and holy and healthy. And a special thanks for the radical leaders, because I know you're out creating our world in amazing ways. So bless you all, and I wish you a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year.
You too.
Thank you, Tracy.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.